Hello, welcome to Practical Witchery with Stephanie Peterson and Oceana LeBlanc. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Today we are talking about something very interesting called sweeping. And some of you may know what this is. Some of you are, like me, are a little newer to sweeping. So bear with me, you those of you who are very familiar with this, and just let me explain to everyone what sweeping is. So in many belief systems, household items have their own set of magical properties. You know, quite possibly few things are as magical as a broom. You know, this has long been one of the most popular tools in a witch's magical arsenal. Oh, and Oceana is here. Let me bring her on. Welcome, Oceana.
Hello.
Hi,
morning.
I'm just telling everyone about the broom. And so I'm going to finish up and hand over to you with a question. But I was just explaining about, you know, the broom and how the witches became kind of associated with the broom. And it's one of those things that it's just so connected with legend and folklore. You know, back in that magical almanac that James Cambos wrote, he wrote, when misfortune was thought to have entered a home, one old German custom was to sweep the home, thus sweeping away any negativity. Each family member would grab a broom and begin sweeping. Starting at the center of the home, they'd sweep outward toward all exterior doors. As they swept, they open the front and back doors and sweep out the negativity. And then in the Appalachian region, which is a lot of people who came over from Scotland and England and Ireland, it's believed that laying a broom across your doorstep will keep witches out of the house, which is really interesting. But yes, I think that idea of sweeping out or getting rid of negativity is universal, and it's especially important when we want to do a spell or a ritual or something like that. So, Oceana, welcome, and let's talk brooms. Let's talk sweeping.
Okay, well, you pretty much said it in a nutshell, but we can expand on it. There's, you know, that the broom is known as a besom, as a sacred item, and a lot of witches make their own, they make their own besom, you know, because as your, you know, the whole purpose of these sacred tools is to infuse them with your own intention and energy for what you're going to be working with them for, and also to consecrate them specifically for that work. However, that said, in folk magic, you know, really everything that they were using was considered a part of what they were doing. So they didn't necessarily have a separate broom. So there's so many different ways of thinking of this and going about it. And for, you know, for your practical witchery, you could use your broom and then be very, you weave it into your everyday life. So, you know, every time you use your broom, you're picking up your sacred item and you're using it to clean. So whenever you're cleaning, you're doing, you're clearing energy as well as clearing the physical. So we know that the physical is a manifestation of the spirit world. They reflect each other. So working
that's
on both levels. Yeah.
It's a nice time to be talking about this, too, because New Year's is coming up, and a lot of people make resolutions, and they kind of pile resolutions onto their already busy life and their already busy goals without cleaning out the old. I think it's really difficult to create anything new. So it's just to clear.
Yeah, it's very important. We are on the waning moon, so that means the moon is getting, you know, moving towards a new moon. It was a full moon. It's just the going towards the kind of dark sky, right? And so during those whole two quarters, because there are four quarters, we can be banishing, we can be decluttering, we can be releasing anything that no longer serves us, making space for what we desire, but also releasing things that may be negative in our lives that we just want out, and the optimal time to do that is in the waning moon.
That's interesting.
So when you're talking about, you know, clearing and decluttering and making space, that's awesome. An awesome reason to be doing a sweeping spell and a cleansing spell. But there's also, you know, is there something in your space that is feeling really like it's holding you back or it's negative? And then you could be banishing with the broom as well, with the dozen.
I love that. I love the image of, you know, the German image of everyone furiously and frenziedly sweeping quickly. Get it out. That just makes me laugh thinking about that. So with this whole intention thing, do you, Oceana, do you tend to decide to do something every waning moon, or do you wait until something is kind of on your mind and go to it then?
Both. Absolutely both. It's not sort of an either-or thing. It really depends on what's happening in my life. As the longer that I practice being very intentional with my magic, the more intentional I become. So I might actually wait now for a particular precise astrological lineup, you know, of the planets for the most optimal time, and use, you know, and do the magic at a certain time and when the moon is at a certain place, when the other planets are in a certain place. And because the more things that are lined up intentionally, the more work that you put into doing a spell, the more you're gathering your power. And the more power is behind it, and so the results become more and more
potent,
but also like you can pretty much know that it's going to happen. Like there is no guesswork anymore. It's just okay. Now I'm going to do this.
Oh, it's more surefire, yeah.
Yes, surefire.
That's really good because I think that's one of the things that people. Keep going.
Oh, I was going to say there's also, I've heard certain witches talk about the rule of three in the way that they know what needs to be tweaked in their magic after they've done a spell. You know, if they wait 3 days for a sign and they'll start to see things converging, they'll start to see things manifesting. Mm-hmm. Then 3 weeks, so that's 3 days, 3 weeks, and then 3 months. If it's not manifested in 3 months, then you know you've got to go back in and do something more or different.
Interesting. Okay. So have you ever done a ritual without sweeping, it didn't work, and then you went back and you swept and it worked?
I wouldn't say I've done it with sweeping because for me personally, most of the sweeping I do is very practical. It's like, okay, the house just feels heavy or people have had a lot of emotional ups and downs or upsets, and so I'm going to clear the house of all of that and invite in some, you know, some love and some cheerful energy, and it lifts everyone's spirits. You know, it'd be amazing to just kind of track or notice.
It would be.
You know, I see it myself. Like if everybody's upset, I might do something like cook a meal and put ingredients into it that I know promote joy and happiness. Just and then feed it to my family, and they'll start to get happier as they're eating. It's really fun, actually.
That sounds really fun. Yeah,
and according to the highest good, you know, I never impose it, and I tell them, like yesterday morning, for instance, wasn't it yesterday? Yeah, I made oatmeal, so I'm just the way he likes it, and he did not want oatmeal. He was in a teenage mood, and he was, like, upset that I had already made breakfast because he really didn't want it, and I just kind of turned to him, and I said, okay, so there's a lot of ingredients in this that you love. I made it just for you, and I also know that you've been going through a hard time this week, and so I put magic in it to help you feel better. And so he ate it. You know, I told him, you know, this is what's in here.
Yeah.
And so he actually ate it without complaining.
That's hilarious. That's
very
so funny.
Interesting. You know,
that
so when I, you know, I'm very careful, Stephanie, as I'm sure you are. You know, I don't impose things on people like pointedly. You know, when I'm doing working magic, I give like room for the greater good, and So I mean, you could say everyone on this planet is walking around casting spells all day long. It's just that they're not intentional about it.
Right.
Because our thoughts, our words, the things we're thinking about people, all of that is stuff. Prayers. Oh my goodness.
Prayers.
When we get into
prayer.
If you're praying
for
something for somebody that they don't even want, like, oh, please make them come to Jesus. Please, God.
That's a
spell without someone's permission. So that's pretty much black magic, in my opinion. In my opinion. I know that's going to be controversial, but in my opinion, that is, you know, casting a spell on someone. It really is. So I feel good about, you know, knowing how to do it and doing it intentionally, and also always doing it so that it harms no one. You know, always putting that caveat, that age-old, beautiful, tried-and-true, perfect love, perfect trust, is that it harms none. Yeah. So important.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is important. You know, and it's interesting. I think we need to do a whole show, Oceana, on, or maybe a whole week's worth, or a whole, like, month worth of shows on, you know, black magic and, you know, someone, do they want this or not want this? Because it's such a fascinating topic and it's so nuanced. And this, with all this clearing, it's interesting because one could say, well, it's just clearing. How is it going to affect anyone else? It's just clearing. So let me ask you, it's just clearing. How is this going to affect other people?
Well, I think with clearing, I mean, so here's the other thing. I mean, there are certain things that we just do in life, and yes, it's magic, and you know, cleaning is really not going to hurt somebody. You know, well, okay, wait, I take that back. It won't hurt human beings, but it might hurt the, you know, bacteria that are live organisms. It might, you know, like there's no way to walk through life without harming something. And so that has helped me because I went through many years of struggling with this feeling like so afraid to really, really practice magic because I was afraid of the power of being able to harm people. You know, I just did not want to take that chance. I didn't want to do anything that could hurt anyone. But what happens with that real activism against hurting anything is it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself because you just begin to shrink away from everything that has to do with anyone because you don't want to take that chance, you know. So it's like this this opposite thing, you know. You're creating this polarity. So I think balance, knowing intentionally, being very conscious of what are the possible outcomes, you know, before you go in, and what is the desired intention, or what's the intention, what's the desired outcome, what are the possible ways this could play out, is there anybody it could hurt, and then you just do your best, that you're being responsible, and you're doing things in a positive way, you know, and know that, you know, there's just no way to move through life without disrupting something. I mean, that's what we're here to do, is create and destroy. Like, really, that's what we're here to do on the planet, I think.
And learn a lot in the process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And have fun. It's like a playground, awesome. You know. We come into this play box, this sandbox of life, to make a sandcastle and then kick it down and then make another one and then kick it down and make a different one and kick it down. that's what we're doing here, all of us. So we can either come in intentionally and go, okay, like, you know, I've lived enough lifetimes that I'm going to do this on purpose now and see how much more fun I can have.
Right.
Rather than by accident and thinking it's happening to me. Yeah.
So look,
but anyway,
yeah.
we kind of got off topic. We were talking about clearing space and sweeping. We could talk for hours. I mean, and we will, just not all at once.
Oh, yeah, we definitely will. And, yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left. And I'm just really curious, in using this time and talking about sweeping, have you ever resorted to asking your son or your husband to help you clear a space, either, you know, just telling them it's chores or telling them that you want to do a ritual and you want them to help be involved by cleaning?
Oh, yeah. They know me by now. I mean, I'm very open. They know that
mm-hmm.
I'm a witch. They know that I'm a priestess. They know that I, you know, who I am. And we've done plenty of ritual together. You know, we celebrate the various solstices, equinoxes. We have both Christian and pagan decorations and Jewish. I mean, we just have all kinds of stuff in our house. I'm very multiculturally embracing. And, you know, so we just like to celebrate. So we do ritual together, and if something's happening and we want to affect change and have happy outcomes, then we, you know, we gather our resources together. So I might say, you know, it's time to really declutter, because if we want to manifest that, you know, that new TV for you, for my son, you know, or that new
mm-hmm.
snowblower, then, you know, what's in the way of that right now? Like, look at, like, we're kind of like going, how are we going to get one? Well, what can we clear to make space for the universe? What can we put into the energy that will catapult, catalyze the universe into delivering that? So then we'll do something together.
That's really lovely. Yeah, I think I'm going to start actually using that with my kids too. I think that they'd be really, really interested in that, because I know whenever I make a candle, I try to do these things by myself. But sometimes
mm-hmm.
because we live in a smaller space and the kids are always up now that they're older, they will be up and they're so curious. So I think that's a lovely way of including kids in your spiritual practice.
Yeah. Well, when my son was really little, I mean, I did. You know, I did a lot of ritual just here and there. You know, when you have little ones, you can't, like, take all this time, right, to do this.
You
kind
really
magic.
Cannot.
So, I mean, I had to have my altar right in my kitchen. You know, it was just a part of my kitchen. People wouldn't even probably
right.
know that it was an altar. Very practical right there, so that I could just be there and do my daily devotions while he was having breakfast. And, you know, if I needed to intend something or just, you know, do some magic, then I would just do it. You know, and he was running around in his diapers and I, you know, with his Legos and whatever. And I remember, and, you know, you don't notice how much children absorb of what you're doing, because they don't talk about it. You know, they're not sitting there saying, oh, Mom, I noticed you did this, and ask you questions. They just absorb what's happening. They don't even look like they're looking at you. And one day it was pouring rain and he really wanted to go outside. I think he was about 2.5. He was very verbal, extremely verbal, extremely early, complete sentences by the time
mm-hmm.
he was 1.5 years. So he's standing in front of the sliders looking outside and he's upset. I want to go out. I'm like, we can't. It's raining. And, you know, so I'm cooking something. My back is turned and I hear him behind me. And he starts saying, rain, rain, go away. But he had a real powerful voice about it. So I turned and watched exactly to me. And he says, rain, rain, go away. Come back a different day. Little Rowan wants to play. And then he lifted up his arms and yelled, so mote it be. I was like, whoa.
Oh, my God. That's like a Scooby-Doo
and
episode. That's
hilarious. Right? And a child's like, whoa, because they don't have any doubts. They have no reservations. They have no doubts whatsoever that what they're doing is going to happen. Like, they
right.
believe it. And within minutes, it stopped raining. And I was like, oh, my gosh, honey, you can't do that. And I'm trying to explain that, you know, you can't do that with the weather. That's not good. for, you know, to just only think of yourself. At that age, he couldn't really understand. But I was blown away. I will never forget that, you know. So, like, really, what we're doing around our kids, they see it. That's an extreme example. It really is.
Oh, wow. It's a wonderful example, though. I love that. I really do. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, that's amazing. That's blowing me away. That's just outstanding. let's quickly just talk about, we're talking about sweeping and sweeping our physical space, but there's also sweeping our mind, sweeping our soul, sweeping our attention. What kind of things do you do to clear out all the negativity and put yourself in a really clean, focused spot so you can manifest?
Definitely a ritual bath as often as I can, if I have time. The bath that you take, a ritual or a spell, is really a part of it. It's not kind of, oh, I'm just going to take a bath and then I'm going to go do it. It's kind of like you go into the bath beginning to step into sacred space. You're already preparing your mind, preparing your intention, visualizing your outcome, soaking and allowing all of what is in the way of the manifestation to be detoxed out of your system. Like you let go in that bath, and you prepare yourself to be to come before the divine with this ritual. I don't know what to call it, with the ritual. So to be going into sacred space, you're creating the sacred space as you move towards it, for me.
Mm.
And for a lot of witches, I think. I mean, you know, a lot of witchcraft lineages, they'll teach you that, you know. So
mm-hmm.
there's
yeah.
that. I may start, you know, weeks before beginning to take note of the planets, time,
mm-hmm.
you know, the phases of the moon, what time I'm going to do it, everything like that. I prepare space, like I don't, if I can, you know, I try to keep my ritual space clean and clear. I drawing together the items that you will use, the different candles, the colored candles, maybe essential oils, incense, what type of herbs, all of the pieces of what goes into it is a part of the process of moving through the resistance as well as gathering the power. And when I say moving through the resistance, what I mean is some items are going to be hard to get, or, you know, you'll notice you have more trouble getting a hold of that one herb you need, and then you watch your
mm-hmm.
process. And the process
mm-hmm.
usually is a part of releasing your resistance. So each
That's really interesting.
Each piece is a part of the ritual. And you know, you find this in anything where you're wanting some, any type of, I don't know what to call it, like in metaphysics, in like unity or the New Age movement, I mean, they won't call it a ritual or a spell, but they'll still be clearing space. They'll be surrounding themselves with positivity. They'll decide exactly what they want. They'll take the action towards it. You know, they'll keep calling it in with the power of the word. There are so many correlations that it really, there's no doubt in my mind that all of it is magic. It's just that really, unfortunately, very unfortunately, witchcraft has gotten a very bad name because of, you know, the historical things and the genocide of witches and folk people. Yeah.
Right. It strikes me as there really is an ancient practice with all these, and they are very related at one point, maybe coming from the same source. So, yes.
Really
curious. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know you
It really,
what you just said is so true. You know, all people throughout time have to do with the planets, even if they don't know it, you know, they all feel that same thing. They just might be describing, you know, the earth and the seasons and their celebrations and their, you know, their feeling for the sun and the moon and the planet, all of that and the elements, they just describe it in different language, or they do their ritual with different symbols or similar symbols and not even realize it.
Right. It's fascinating. It really is. Yeah. Now, we're coming up on the end of this show, this episode, but I wanted to ask you, what do you do if you do have some negativity or a person who's very negative in your space and you want to sweep that away, that person or that person's negativity? We just got done talking about not influencing other people, but what if you need that person to move or yield if you want a result?
Well, my first thing that I turn to is just practical life skills. You know, if there's somebody in my space and I don't feel like it's resonating, like it's really difficult and wearing on me, then I will just stop hanging out with that person. I won't invite them in.
Right. What if they're in your space already?
What do you mean? They're living with you, or
What if it's a partner, or because a lot of people who practice witchcraft live with someone who maybe have very strong negative feelings around it.
Around what? Around their witchcraft.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's why a lot of people practice in private, in secret. Like they
exactly.
like there are many things I do. Like my son wouldn't have known that I had put some love and, you know, and joy and done spells with the oatmeal unless I told him, because it just looks like I'm making oatmeal. It doesn't look like I'm doing anything. I might stir for a little bit longer in a certain direction, but no one's gonna notice that. You know, because I'm banishing something in the oatmeal, you know, like that's going to banish his sadness or his depression or his anger, you know. And then people have a choice whether or not they want to eat what you hand them, you know. So there's that. There is looking to see, you know, for me, I first always look inside and say, why is this triggering me? I mean, there's so many ways, but it really, it's like, what in me is attracting this? What is it about me? What is there anything in my, you know, is there an imbalance in my chakras? Which chakra kind of energy is this? What, why does it trigger me so much?
Mm-hmm.
And you dig down internally and see, is this person truly being difficult? What is the data? Are they simply sitting and moving around and I'm projecting that they're being, you know, depressed? Or, you know, are they depressed and negative and they're, you know, angry and mean? Are they really mean, or am I projecting that face looks like a mean face, or that tone looks like a mean tone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. So I'll do all that before I do anything magical. I'll extend myself. Yeah, and I'll do a lot of forgiveness work on myself and that person. Always, like, forgiveness work and love is key. Yeah, and then I'll start to go, okay, if it just doesn't shift, and if I notice that, no, I'm really doing everything I can myself, and I'm seeing that I have grown enough that I need to set a boundary, then I'll set the boundary. And then you take it from there. If they will begin to dance with that and honor the boundary, then you have something to work with. If not, then you may have to look at, you know, having them move or moving.
Right. That's awesome advice. That's awesome advice. So, everyone, we were so happy to have you with us today. Oceana, let's have a future show on so many of these topics. I cannot wait for future shows. Like, I had so much fun today learning more about sweeping. On the page, you'll see a link to Oceana's website, www.goddessoceana.com. You'll see one to mine as well, stephaniepeterson.com. Please join us next Tuesday at 11. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Looking forward to next week. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Have a great day.
Practical week of witchcraft, everyone. Okay.
Yay. Bye-bye.
Bye.